Brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I mean, 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Our subject tonight is the commendation of able ministers. The commendation of able ministers. Now let's begin reading in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 1. Paul says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you? Do we need, as some, letters of recommendation to you? Or letters of commendation from you?" Now, God's preacher, he does not need to commend himself to the Lord's people. Nor does he commend himself to the Lord's people. Not God's true preacher. He doesn't commend himself. And Paul did not need a letter of recommendation to the Corinthians. Nor did he need a letter of recommendation from the Corinthians. Now, some do require this. Some, he says, there require letters of recommendation. And some are impressed only with such things. Now, the some that Paul speaks of here are the false preachers and their followers that he spoke of back up in 2 Corinthians 2:17. And when he said there that there are many who corrupt the word of God. The some here who require letters of recommendation are the same as the many who corrupt the word of God. And they were those that came into Corinth, false preachers. They were natural Jews. They were natural sons of Abraham. Look over at chapter 11 and verse 21. I'll show you how we know this. Chapter 11 and verse 21. Paul said these were things that these false preachers commended themselves using. And Paul is using those things that they use to commend themselves. And Paul says here in verse 22, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I." You see, these were false preachers who were natural sons of Abraham, natural Jews, natural Israelites. And they came there giving lip service to salvation by Christ, through faith in Christ, apart from our works. That's what they claimed they were preaching. But they were corrupting the word of God. And they did so by declaring it necessary that believers keep the old covenant law in order to be saved. We hear that a lot in our day. You believe, you're saved by grace, but you got to keep the old covenant law. Well, when men make it a necessity that a believer must do something in order to be saved, in addition to Christ, that is preaching the letter that killeth rather than the spirit that giveth life. That's why Paul's going to say in our text, he's going to say that we're able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. He quickens. But since these men were natural, depraved sinners whose hope was their works, then their message was works. Because they had a hope in their works, the message they preached was the message of works. And all natural men do the same thing. They look for outward signs of obedience, outward signs of works and religious activity. They do this because they don't have the Spirit of God working in them. So you have to have something outward. Paul calls it later glorying in appearance. They look at things at the outward and they glory in those things. They need sermons preached in the enticing words of man's wisdom. Why do you think preachers preach and they don't just stick to the Word of God and say what God's Word says? They'll read a verse and then they just go off and preach It's things that don't even sound like they got it out of the Word of God, because they have to do that to keep natural men interested, because the Spirit of God's not working. And those same kinds of folks, those same naturally religious folks, they are very impressed and require letters of recommendation for the preachers. Now, when I'm flying, sometimes, you know, somebody will be sitting next to me and they'll ask me what I do, and I'll tell them. And the first question, almost every single time, the first question they ask is, where did you go to seminary? That's almost always the first question. Where did you go to seminary? And most all natural churches, that's what I'm calling them, natural, worldly, they require their preachers to have letters behind their name. They want you to have a master or a doctorate from some seminary. They require it. It's a must. And they like you to have letters of recommendation from men, preferably famous men. The more popular and more famous, the better. Because they're impressed with those kinds of things. But it's God now who commends his preachers to his people. It's God who commends his preacher to his people. And he does it in a way that only God can do it. Now here's what we find, verse 2. Paul says, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, of the New Covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now here's what we're going to look at. This is what Paul is saying. God, through Christ, commends his preachers to his people by the Holy Spirit writing the gospel in our hearts as we preach Christ. God commends his preachers to his people by the Holy Spirit writing the gospel on your heart as you hear his preachers preach the gospel. That's what happens. Now, first of all, I want to begin with this verse 6 where Paul ends there. It's God who makes his ministers. He said there, who also hath made us able ministers of the new covenant. Now, education is useful for a preacher. You need to be able to read and write. You need to be able to, it's helpful to make an outline, and it's helpful to know how to speak. Those things are helpful. But no seminary, absolutely no seminary, has ever made a preacher of God. No seminary ever made a preacher of God. Most of the ones I know of, I don't know of any I would recommend, because most are teaching false doctrine and most are teaching false methods that aren't scriptural. So I wouldn't recommend a seminary to anybody. But here's, sticking with our text, here's the point I'm making. It's God only, that makes his ministers. God only. He said here, God made us able ministers. Look over at 2 Corinthians 5. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5 and look at verse 18. Now, Paul's speaking of himself, and he's speaking of his fellow ministers here. Now, listen to what he says. All things are of God. What do you have that you didn't receive? All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God gave this ministry to his preachers. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world of his elect unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The gospel of reconciliation has been committed to God's preacher. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador does when he goes into a foreign country? The ambassador goes to that country and speaks the word of the president. He doesn't go speak their own word, they go speak what the president sent them to speak. And we're ambassadors for Christ. We don't come speaking what we come speaking what God will, what Christ would have us to speak, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You see, I'm here declaring the gospel to you as the ambassador of Christ. I am speaking to you in the place of Christ. And the words that I'm speaking are Christ's words. I'm not going to speak my words. I'm going to tell you what my captain tells me to preach to you. And that's what he said. Paul said, God did this. He made us ministers. God makes his ministers able ministers of the new covenant. And he does it by working effectually in the heart of the one he'll use to be a preacher. He saves us. He quickens us. He calls us. He works in the heart, just like he's going to do in the hearts of his people. He does it by his power and his grace. And he makes his preacher faithful to Christ. He has to do that first. The preacher has to be made faithful to Christ. And then he puts him in the ministry. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. He made me faithful. He made me an able minister of Christ, Paul said. And for that, or because of that which Christ did, enabling me to be faithful, he counted me faithful. You see, when that word's impute, and when God imputes something, it's because that's what he's made you. He said, Christ enabled me. Christ made me faithful. And because of that, he counted me faithful. And he put me into the ministry. See who did it? Paul didn't just decide one day, I'm going to be a preacher for Christ. And so he went to seminary and all that. No, he was in a seminary. He was going to the school of Gamaliel, a Pharisee. And Christ arrested him and taught him the gospel and made him faithful and then put him in the ministry. He said, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Peter said, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. He gives the ability. Paul said, I labored, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. You see, the preachers first got to be made to experience the power and grace and be taught the gospel of Christ before he can ever talk about it. Now get this, and be sure to understand this. Our text is telling us God only makes his ministers to be ministers of the new everlasting covenant of grace. Look at there. He says in verse 6, God made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now what does that mean to be a preacher of that new everlasting covenant of grace? What does that mean? Well, it means God's preacher has been given spiritual discernment to know Christ. And to know that Christ put an end to the old covenant of works. He put an end to it. And that Christ by himself, by his blood, established, entirely established. He fulfilled every covenant obligation for his people so that it's finished, it's done. And all the promises of God in that covenant are to his child, yes and amen in Christ, because Christ established it. We were required to keep the law perfectly. Christ did it. Christ did it for his people. And he is the only righteousness that God will receive. You see, you can't preach the everlasting covenant without being given spiritual discernment to know Christ is the covenant. He is. God said, I'll give you for a covenant of the people. Everything's fulfilled in Christ and by Christ. And so his minister is going to preach who? He's going to preach Christ. Go over to 2 Corinthians 4:13 and look there. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. He's quoting the psalm. He said, we also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Look down at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man's renewed day by day. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to read this now with me and listen. Hear Paul, as a minister of Christ, speaking about the ministers of Christ. Hear what he says here, 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The reason we love him is because God has prepared all these things for us and given us a new heart. Everything we have, he prepared. God prepared it. And it never entered our heart, never entered our minds, the things God hath prepared for his people. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us, his preachers, by his Spirit. Look down at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. We know we were freely chosen by God, not based on anything in us, good or evil. We know we were freely redeemed from the curse of the law by Christ through his blood. We know we were freely given a perfect righteousness in Christ, perfect holiness by Christ dwelling in us. We know these things freely given to us. We know we're freely justified through his blood, freely kept, and will be freely presented to God without fault by Christ. All this is done by Christ. We know the things God has freely given to us. So what do we do? Verse 13, which things also we speak. Which things also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches according to the Scriptures. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Well, why don't all preachers do that? But the natural man, including natural preachers, they receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual discerneth all things, yet he himself is discerned of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Back up there, he's referring to what he said earlier. I didn't read it just now, but he said, no man knows the mind of a man except the spirit that's in that man. And he says, now we've received the Spirit of God, that we might know the things freely given us of God. He says, for who's known the mind of the Lord that the Lord might instruct him? And he answers, we have the mind of Christ. We're taught the things of God by the Spirit of God. And so that means we speak it. We speak what we do know. Paul's going to look back at chapter 3. Look at verse 12. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. We use great boldness of speech. Well, you don't want to tell somebody that God elected a people and that's the only people Christ died for. Why don't I want to say that? That's the message that Christ is going to bless and that he's going to call out his sheep with. Why would I want to hide that from somebody? Why wouldn't I speak that boldly? The only reason I wouldn't is if I didn't have this hope. But I have it. Therefore, we speak. We speak. It means Christ is the only message we preach. He says there in chapter 4 and verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, your ministers. That's what a minister is, for Christ's sake. Now, the only way to preach the new everlasting covenant of grace is by preaching the mediator of it. It's the only way. You can't preach the everlasting covenant of grace without preaching Christ, who's the mediator. You can't preach the everlasting covenant without declaring Christ fulfilled it all for his people. Hebrews 9:15 says, for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, that is, dying for the sins of his people, which were imputed to us because Adam, under that first covenant of works, plunged us into sin. So Christ came and he died for the sins of his people, for the transgressions that were committed under that first covenant, so that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. God, you think God's going to make that promise and go back on it? No, because it's all yes and amen, because Christ did it for his people. He said, he taketh away that first old covenant of works that he may establish the second. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He gave us his table. And you know what we celebrate in his table? Remember what he said the blood represents? This is the New Testament. This is the everlasting covenant of grace. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Established fully. Nothing left to be done. In my blood. Why? Because all things are purged by blood. And our sins have been purged by his blood. God cannot and will not go back on his promise. So God makes his ministers. And God makes his ministers preach Christ only. So now if you hear a preacher preaching, and he's not preaching Christ, he's mingling law and grace, he's preaching morality, he's preaching word, he's not telling the truth about Christ. Know this. Don't doubt this. Know this for a fact. He's not the minister of God. God didn't make him. He made himself. He's not the minister of Christ. Now, secondly, God commends his preacher to his people. He makes his minister, and then he commends his minister to his people. Look at verse 4. Paul said, need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or from you? I'm sorry, verse 1. Need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as you're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. Christ was the writer, ministered by us. We were just a pen in Christ's hand. They wrote the letter, Paul said. But you were written by Christ. And he says, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Now, Christ writes the letter of recommendation for his preacher. Christ does that. Christ writes the letter of recommendation for his preacher. And you know where he writes it? He writes it in the heart of his people. He writes the everlasting covenant of grace on the heart of his people. He said, you are our epistle, written in our hearts. Paul said in his first letter, if I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you. Without doubt, I'm an apostle to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. If anybody wants a letter of recommendation from me, what makes somebody to know? How am I going to know you're a true preacher sent of Christ? There's a letter of recommendation right there. There's a letter of recommendation. There's a letter of recommendation. Those God has saved through the preaching of the gospel, through my ministry. And he says here, Christ makes it known. He makes it known that he alone has made his child an epistle by his preacher. Christ makes it known. He says, you are known and read of all men, for as much as you're manifestly, you're openly, clearly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us. If you want to see what Christ does to make it so openly manifest, go to 1 Thessalonians. You know, people, I read a lot on this when I was preparing this, and you get to a word like that, where it says you're an epistle. And boy, boy, these preachers that corrupt the Word of God, they jump all over that and start preaching morality about how you need to live just such a way so everybody looks at you and sees you so holy and all that. Well, look here what the Word of God says. This is how Christ did it right here in Thessalonica. Verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. We know you were chosen of God, Paul said. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. How do you know that, Paul? For our gospel came unto you in not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Here's the first thing Christ is going to do. He's going to make it known by making his child a follower of Christ and of his people. He's going to make his child leave whoever he was following before and follow Christ and his preacher and his people. That's going to ruffle some feathers. That's going to make it known that something's happened when you leave your former companions and follow Christ and join with his people. And he says here, having received the word in much affliction, Christ makes it known by making his child receive the gospel, even though he's got all this affliction from adversaries who's telling him, don't believe that. And even though his own flesh, his own sinful self is telling him, don't believe that. Yet he receives that word in much affliction. That's the work of God. That's the work of Christ making you his epistle. He said, and you received it with joy of the Holy Ghost. What used to make you mad and angry when you read it, now you joy. You rejoice. There's a difference that's been made. Verse 7, he says, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we did not speak anything. What did Paul say? We're always triumphant in Christ because he makes us a sweet savor of Christ in every place where we speak. Paul said that's what happened to those believers at Thessalonica. He said Christ proved to everybody that you were his epistle because everywhere you went, you gloried only in Christ. You spoke only of what Christ had done and gave Christ all the glory and gave yourself none. He says here, verse 9, they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. He makes it known by making his child turn from all our self-made idols. Everything we worshiped before, he turns you from it and makes you to begin to delightfully serve the true and living God. That's only something only he can do. And look at this last thing. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. See, he doesn't make his child go on working, trying to obtain acceptance and trying to obtain a righteousness or to make himself holy and more holy and more holy. He gives his child rest so that, you know what we're doing now? We're just waiting on Christ to come again because he has already delivered us from the wrath to come. And we know that. So we're waiting on it. That's the life of faith, waiting on Christ. When you're waiting on somebody, what do? You can come by here and look right outside across the street. There's a bus stop. When people are waiting for the bus, you know what they're doing? Nothing. They're just sitting there waiting. We're not trying to build a bus. We're not trying to make it get here quicker. We're not trying to make sure the bus will stop for us and make sure the bus sees that. We know it's coming. It's going to be right there. It's going to stop right there. All we're doing is waiting on it. That's all we're doing with Christ. He's done it all. So, and you know Christ promised this. He, in Isaiah 52:6, he said, My people shall know my name. They shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. He said, how beautiful are the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchman shall lift up the voice, with Christ the voice. Together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. Christ and his ministers are in perfect accord, perfect agreement. They see eye to eye whenever the Lord shall bring again Zion. Christ said, you're going to know it's me that's speaking. That's how he commends his preacher to his people, by speaking in their hearts. And nothing of this, no part of this is outward at all. It's all spiritual. Every bit of it. He said there, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not with on tables of stone, but in fleshly, soft tables of the newly created heart. That's where this word's written. So this is how he demonstrates the power in the of the Holy Spirit to make our faith stand, not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is how he does it. He sends an earthen vessel who preaches. Amen. Some men leave saying, I don't even know, he don't even have any letters to commend him. Others, Christ makes to hear it in their heart. And they realize, this is Christ speaking to me. This is really a minister of Christ. And they're welded together so that they can't be separated. Now let me show you this one last thing very quickly. By this work being of Christ, it makes us trust God for all sufficiency. By this work being of Christ, it makes us trust him for all sufficiency. Paul said in verse 4, and such trust have we. He's talking about how that, you know, he made us able ministers. He sent us and he made you an epistle. Christ did all of this. And he says, and such trust we have through Christ toward God. That he's saying that he's going to keep doing this. He's going to do it for the rest of his lost sheep. This is our trust we have toward God through Christ. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. We can't think any of this was done by us or of us, or we can't think anything as of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. I say this to you a lot. Why is it some people hear the gospel and they are planted under the sound of the preaching of the gospel and they're here with us every week, week in and week out, and others have come and gone? Why is it? By experiencing the power and the grace of God through Christ Jesus, by experiencing him making us his minister, I experienced that power and grace by him making me his minister. You've experienced it by him commending his minister to you in your heart. You've experienced it by Christ making you his epistle through this gospel. And by experiencing that power and that grace to save through his gospel, it makes us trust God to provide us all sufficiency for our own salvation, and also in that he's going to do the same thing for his lost sheep and call them out through this same gospel. It makes us trust God to do this through Christ and give all sufficiency for it. That's what it makes you do. It's the power by which God makes us receive the gospel that will determine whether or not we're going to trust God rather than ourselves and preach Christ according to this book. It's how we've received that mercy from him that's going to determine how we're going to preach this word in truth and wait on him to do the work. That's why men don't do it. Men hadn't received that mercy the same way you've received it. Look over at 2 Corinthians 4:1. Paul goes off explaining some things about the covenant. We're going to look at that next week. But then when he finishes up, now he's relating this back to this same text we're looking at tonight. We have this trust through Christ toward God, not that we're sufficient, but all our sufficiency is of God. He says, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, he's saying, this next word, as, means the same manner as we have received mercy. By the same way as we have received mercy, we faint not. By the same power and grace as we receive mercy, we faint not. What does he mean by we don't faint? He says this, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully. Now watch this. He's going to say the exact same thing he just said in our text. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's another way of saying we simply preach the truth and Christ makes you his epistle. He writes the letter of recommendation for us by writing it on your heart and commending us to you by the truth of the gospel. And he says, verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. What makes us do so? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We experience this. We experience being made an epistle of Christ. We experience being sent forth to preach the gospel by Christ. We experienced him making a letter of recommendation by writing it in the hearts of those that heard us preach. We've experienced this. You've experienced this. And I've experienced this. God made the light to shine and made us to behold Christ. And so what's the result of that? That's how we receive mercy. So we just preach Christ. Look, and we know this. We have no sufficiency in ourselves. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. We're just the ink pen. Ink pen has to be filled up with ink. Christ fills us with the ink. And Christ picks up the ink pen and he writes with it on the hearts of his people. He uses his minister to preach, fills him up with the gospel, preaches him, and then writes the word on the heart of his people. And he says that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. That's what he's saying in our text. It's Christ who makes the difference in those who preach Christ only. That's why they preach Christ only. He makes us his minister. He makes us his epistles. He commends his able ministers to his people and his people to us. And we believe he'll continue to do it for his lost sheep as he has done for us. Such trust have we through Christ toward God. So, now get this last statement. By believing and preaching the gospel of Christ in spirit and in truth, by believing this gospel and declaring it in spirit and in truth, not trying to smooth the edges off, not trying to take the offense out of it, believing this gospel and preaching this gospel according to the word of God. You know what we're declaring to people, to everybody that hear? We're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. And what we're declaring to people is that we have no sufficiency in ourselves at all, but all our sufficiency is of God. And when you hear a man stand up and he doesn't preach the truth, he doesn't preach Christ from every scripture. He goes to some of these scriptures and instead of preaching Christ, he just preaches the letter. He just tells you do and don't, do and don't, be moral, do this and don't do that. He don't preach Christ from it. He doesn't shut you up to Christ and make you to know you can't do one thing to please God. He's got to do it all. And by that, by not preaching Christ, he's declaring he's got some sufficiency in himself, and all his sufficiency don't come from God. That's what he's saying loud and clear. But that man who preaches Christ according to this word, we're declaring to everybody, we don't have any sufficiency. It's all of God. I pray now he'll make each of us a letter of recommendation. Make the world know, his people know, Christ did this. We didn't have a thing to do with it. Christ did it. He's our Savior, not us. All right, Brother Eric.